As an employee-owned financial firm, Baird offers advice solely focused on clients' needs, while consistently investing in their expertise and capabilities to serve those in need. More information at baird-difference.com.
And this week, we get a special edition of the superintendent. It's our great friend, Dr. Jeff Hoswald. Good afternoon, my buddy. How are you?
I'm good, Mike. How are you?
Good. We haven't spoken in a while. Everything okay? You had a good spring break. Here we are in April. Indiana University is counting down the days to graduation. You're not in that zone just yet, but time flies when we're having fun.
We are having fun and time does fly, but you're exactly right. We're not quite to the IU countdown, of course. as you can ask any K-12 student and any MCCSE teacher, we do have to have a few more instructional days. We have to get to 180, and so our last day is May 20th. So by my simplistic math, that would be 27 more days. But who's counting?
Everybody. Everybody's counting, because once we hit April, everybody turns for home, and we have one eye on it. Now, May 20th seems early, but we know we have to get in all 180 days. We don't have to worry about anything anymore with snow days because of the wonders of technology. But you do have some big projects left before the end of the school year hits, and the email that was sent out yesterday to MCCSE parents inquiring about start times and how that weaves in with transportation. Tell me how this idea came up, Dr. Hoswald, and what the district is looking to accomplish from the feedback from the parents in with the kids.
Great question. So as you may be well aware, we have had challenges with transportation this year. It's probably the lightest I could put it. And that's a lot of things, right? That's hitting a reset as we've had significant number of students move back to riding buses as the pandemic has eased. So we have more riders. We've had staffing shortages. We have antiquated technology. And basically, as the year started, all of that came to a head. And we had massive delays. We had massive shortages. And so throughout the year, we've had a series of public conversations on all the different things we are trying to do to improve transportation. Rome wasn't built in a day. So we've had a series of procedures and activities taking place. That includes we've made some significant investments in technology that we plan to roll out for next year. That's parent communication pieces. That's tracking software. That's we're working on some improved attendance software. So basically, it's the opportunity for us and for our parents to know when their child or when a student boards a bus, when they exit a bus, and also when the arrival date is, the arrival time is anticipated, given any situation, with some push notifications. So you may get a text that says, anticipated arrival is now delayed 5 minutes. Some comparable things that we, as I understand it, might be, you get an update that your Uber is 5 minutes out instead of 2 minutes out, or maybe when your information updates on your departure time for a flight you may be taking. So basically, we're significantly improving our technology that operates our system. And then we have hired consultants to help us be more efficient, but particularly our goal is to increase the reliability of our route times. We're trying to have our students on average on our buses less frequently, and we're trying to make sure we right size our routes so that we don't have created routes in which we don't have drivers for. That doesn't work. I don't know if you knew this, but a route without a driver creates lots of problems.
Yeah, unless you have those self-driving buses, but I don't think that's we're just
oh,
there.
Oh, heaven help
we're
us.
Not there. We're not there
I think we're,
just yet.
No, we're going to let others perfect that, and we know that our bus drivers are the first, really oftentimes the first staff member that our students see in a day, and we're just so appreciative and grateful for their work. It's tough work. So you're exactly right. No self-driving buses in the near future. In order to do this, and if we encourage people, if you want to get kind of a more detailed update, we did a comprehensive public presentation on this at our December board meeting. So if you want to go back to December of 2021, it's available on our website. You can do a search on YouTube. You can get kind of a more detailed explanation. But in short, if we need to increase our reliability and in theory decrease the number of buses because we don't have enough drivers, we have to increase the number of tiers. So what that means is instead of having two start times, we need to have three or four. And the reason for that is we need to spread out our start times a little bit. So we may have, for example, a high school and then a middle school and then an elementary start time. And if we can do that, then we can try to right size our bus fleet to align with the number of drivers we have. We also can have, if you can imagine, like not having all of your 7 through 12 students on a bus, we can make our routes faster and the loops shorter. And again, have to adjust the number of buses we have based upon our staffing.
Let me ask you about staffing. I know 100 people that drive Uber or do whatever. It seems like everybody's doing that. Why won't they drive a bus? Is it the rate? Is it the training? Is it the qualifications? Where is the disconnect in the society if we get everything delivered and we get a ride everywhere? How do we? And I'm not asking you to solve this problem. I'm not going there. But that just makes unbelievable sense because IU's having this problem. The city of Bloomington's having the problem. You're having the problem. Right. Is it the commercial aspect of it, or what does your gut tell you?
Well, first of all, I know that we are. You know, our society is changing and people are doing more independent contracted work. Clearly, to drive an Uber does not require, to my understanding, maybe a CDL. So we do have a shortage of people with CDLs, which are required. And there's actually a special training required to drive a bus. And so I think that we see there's a lot of reasons we see these shortages. First of all, it's tough work. There's no doubt about it. We have started offering some CDL programs. I know there are free CDL programs in our community. I know that up at our Broadview Learning Center, our Delta Education Center, we're working to get more people trained. If we have somebody that's willing to drive a bus, they can apply for the job, and we'll do on-site training. We'll help people get CDLs. In part of our audit, we do comparative studies, and our bus driver hourly hiring rates are definitely above the state average and closer to the top 10%. So I do believe that this is a problem that is clearly much greater than just MCCSE. You mentioned, for example, IU and the city of Bloomington, but we know that there are bus driver shortages in every district in Indiana or most districts in Indiana, and it's a nationwide problem. So you're right. We've got to get more people with CDLs. And there's a lot of benefits to it. I mean, in our case, we offer healthcare benefits. We offer eligibility to participate in a state pension plan. We offer a 401, 403B match program, and it's an opportunity to give back. So we really are out there trying to recruit people. And I'll tell your readers, your listeners, if they're interested and it's something they're willing to do, maybe they don't even need the money. Maybe they don't need the job, but they're willing to. They have time. They're willing to give back to the community. On our website's information about how we can help train people to drive our buses. So anyway, back to your original question real quickly. In order to alleviate the pressures, we need to add tiers. And in order to add tiers, we need to either move our high school start time up a little bit, move our elementary start time back a bit. And so we sent out a survey, and as you can imagine, I don't know if you know that people in Bloomington, they
participate.
They give really, they participate. Yeah, absolutely. It's wonderful. And so, no, it is. In a matter of 24, 48 hours, we had like 2,500 responses of people giving us input. And we have a consultant that is working with us that does this. They work all over the United States for large districts to create better transportation systems. And so if we are going to fix our problems this year, one of the solutions must be to sort of add a tier or two. And that means probably either beginning our high school a little earlier, ending starting our elementary a little later, or maybe a combination of both. So we just wanted to get input and, kind of what we're already finding is that, 15 minutes before or after, people are like, yeah, that's good. When you get closer to 30 minutes, they're like, maybe later, but not 30 minutes early. And we can split the data apart to sort of get an understanding of what parents are more supportive of, with the understanding that we have to do something if we're going to fix some of the problems that exist this year. We simply cannot continue to have a system that's based on 120 buses if we don't have 120 drivers. If so, we're going to continue to have situations where, you know, bus routes are run after the start of the school day, students are brought to school late, and it's just not a viable option going forward.
Dr. Jeff Oswald is our guest. He is the director, heck not, he's the doctor.
Director of transportation.
Well, I was going to get to that, but now I'm going to leave that alone. You are the superintendent of public instruction here in the MCCSE school district. And as you mentioned, you got X amount of drivers for Y amount of routes. And like sometimes government entities do or whatever, you throw money at the problem. Is this just something you feel that's not going to fix it? Is there just not that pool of potential employees to even throw money at it? Because like you said, if you throw money at it and you still only have 80 drivers, now you just have 80 more higher paid drivers, right?
Well, we want to pay our drivers as much as we can. So we do have some financial limits, but we also know that we have increased our rate of pay as a percentage of our drivers more than any of our other classified staff groups. And when we did an external audit, we did see that our pay is not below state average. It's definitely in line with regional pay for area school districts. It doesn't mean that if we can reduce the number of routes, right, and we can free up some additional capital, that could result in increasing our bus driver pay, and we would like to continue to do that. So we don't see these as two independent actions.
Gotcha.
But we know that we don't believe that simply raising salaries, and this is based on national trends, state trends, and local trends, you know, just simply raising rates has not alleviated the shortfall in other places. So while we want to continue, and we do fully intend to continue to raise our bus driver rates, we know there's other steps that we'll probably have to consider. And, you know, in terms of environmentally, in terms of economically, if we can create a system in which we can take 20 or 30 buses off the road and provide the same services but in a more reliable manner, think of the benefit of that. I mean, environmentally, in terms of traffic, in terms of costs, I mean, a bus today can cost us $150,000. And so if we can buy one less bus a year, we have huge taxpayer savings. And if we can get savings, we can have a more efficient system that's more reliable by starting our high school, 10 to 15 minutes early, maybe starting our elementary 10 to 15 minutes later, putting a middle school start time in the middle. If we can make that small adjustment and accomplish all of those things, right, less buses on the road, more reliable service, all of our routes being filled by drivers, increase our driver salaries, because of that small change, I think it's an investment. I think it's worth it. And what we're trying to learn from our families was, if we have to make this adjustment because of the realities of our staffing shortages, what's your preference? Do you want 15, 20, 30, 45 minutes? And would you rather have it start earlier or later? And we're just kind of getting a pulse in a real generalized sense of the preferences of our community. And that's what they've showed us, right? They prefer 15 over 30, and 45 and 60 minute changes, they're kind of like, oh, please no. And, just some general preferences that have already, when we threw some of this, provided some of this initial information back to our consultants, will change our recommendation, because we do want our final start times, not only to accomplish our goals, to be reflective of what a majority of our community sees as reasonable. And I think that's really important, and that's why we want community feedback. Now, I will tell you, just like with a school calendar, most likely there is no perfect transportation time start time system that's going to be the preference of everyone. However, we do want to align with the general will and the feedback of our parents and our community.
Are you trying to get this ready to go August 4th or whatever the ridiculous start time of school is next year?
Well, we are trying to get it done. We plan to set our new school start times by the end of the school year.
Okay.
In April or May. And the reason is from that, then we have to design our route structures. We have to start the communication process to let families know when the estimated pickup times are, drop-off times. So, yes, in order to have our new system in place by the start of school year, we need to have our school start times finalized, ideally by the end of April, but no later than May.
So you will keep me updated on this big, big development as we move forward.
I think I'm talking to you in 2 more weeks, right?
That's
you
right.
Didn't talk to me twice.
That's good because you missed me last month, so I'm keeping score here. So I did realize that.
I know you are.
That's all right, though.
I know.
Dr. Jeff Oswald's my buddy. He runs a school corporation here, and he's got a big project on his hands. What other big projects are you looking at? We know you want to get people enrolled for preschool. That's going to, again, all this stuff in the summertime that we think is so far away is going to be right around the corner, isn't it?
Nope. We already have a process we're rolling out through online enrollment. We are encouraging people. We're just begging people to let us know if they have someone interested, if they want to register for preschool, and definitely if they have someone that's going to be 5 years old by August 1st. We want to get them enrolled and ready and prepared for kindergarten. And we're just really beginning to do the planning that we're in full planning stages for the 22-23 school year. It's going to be here before you know. I don't want to wish away summer or anything, you know.
No.
But, you know, Mike, you know, summer comes and goes pretty quickly. So, you know, I'm already getting my parka back out. Do I need it for next week, by the way?
The answer is yes. Just yes. Just
and
yes.
I thought you had some control over this.
No, I do not, obviously. If I do, I'm using it. I'm going to save it for your graduation because you haven't had one in 10 years outside. So I'm going to save that for you. Is that a fair trade? Will that work?
Yeah, I think they had one outside last year, but
they did, but it's just distanced this will be a normal one, right? Everything's back to normal coming up for that's the plan?
I got some details for you on graduation coming up.
Stay tuned. Good.
That's
good,
right.
Good. I like that.
That's how you lead in. I've been listening. I learned a lot.
See,
yeah.
We're in this together.
I do have something really sad. I know you're short on time.
No, I'm not. Actually, for you, I have 5 more minutes, which is good.
Okay. Well, tonight we are having a public work session that is going to update our community and review with our board some of our state fiscal situation. And this is all leading up to the potential and the likely MCCSE referendum.
Uh-huh.
You may remember, yeah, this is important, right? So we have an operating levy approved by voters in 2010, and it was renewed in 2016. So it expires in 2022. So over the last 12 months, we've begun analyzing our finances, assessing our educational priorities. And tonight, we are going to have a public work session. Members of the public are welcome to attend. And we're going to have a financial review by some of our financial consultants. It's going to kind of go over our overall financial health. I'll tell you, financially, we're a very healthy district, but we do spend a significant amount of our funds on our salaries. That includes about 93% of our referendum dollars. We've asked for $7.3 million for the last 12 years. We have really not adjusted that for inflation. If we adjusted it for inflation, $7.3 million in 2011 would cost $9.5 million today. And I don't know. I know you've been talking online on air a little bit about this, but we anticipate inflation to continue to grow in the next couple of years. It's on everyone's mind. And so I tell you that because we're going to talk a little bit about what our financial realities are, where we stand, and why we're recommending a third referendum, which we mostly use to increase our teacher pay as well as our hourly classified staff rate. That includes our bus drivers and our cafeteria workers, our paraprofessionals, our office professionals. Couple pieces of trivia on the referendum that's important for you to know. We are currently the 8th lowest taxing rate in the state of Indiana. So you know, we are only at 68 cents per $100 of property value. That's 8th lowest of all school districts in the state. If you look at many of our neighboring districts, other districts that are like us, many of their rates are significantly higher, and a lot of them are over a dollar. So we really are, unfortunately, we have pretty good assessed valuation in our school district,
yeah,
which allows
really
us to keep our tax rate lower. But again, we've had some pretty stagnant state funding, and many of our educational priorities are underfunded. We want to expand our funding to help continue to improve our special education programs. We want to make sure we have adequate staff. We want to continue to provide supplies and learning opportunities for students. And, as I said, $7.3 million today is not the same as $7.3 million in 2011. So we are looking at making some slight adjustments to that. And so we're having that conversation. And our plan is to have a referendum on the ballot in November 8th, 2022. We're getting a lot of feedback. I have some good news. In some initial polling, we have some really, really strong, strong community support for K-12 public education, for our school district, for the referendum and the referendum in the past. We've formed a referendum advisory committee. It has a lot of community members that have really advised us to help us understand what community priorities are. This includes some of our business and religious leaders in town, some of our political leaders, as well as some of our school staff. And they've really helped us kind of understand what we've done in the past, and that our general public really wants us to attract and retain qualified and good quality teachers and bus drivers and cooks, and to continue to make sure that the salaries are wages that will attract and keep our great employees, as well as continuing to provide opportunities in the arts and STEM and other materials and supplies and opportunities for our students, and to continue to improve our special programs like special education and the funds needed to just operate the outstanding program that we do locally. So we've got a lot of work to do, but we're just knocking it out of the park in terms of our outcomes and our success. And, in short, MCCSE is probably the best investment we can make.
And for people who would like to participate in tonight's meeting, you can't. It's a work session, a little bit different. Tell me what time everything gets started, Dr. Hoswald, and where we need to go, either in person or online, to participate.
Yeah, it's at the CoLab again. It's 555 East Miller Drive. It's open to the public. You're welcome to watch it. We'll be recording it as well. It is limited participation only for the sake that for all intents and purposes, the purpose of this is for us all, that includes the board and myself, to receive information from an outside source. In this case, most of the information we will be receiving from a financial consultant. And that's just an opportunity for us to really receive that information, digest it, and understand what our fiscal realities are. Because we do anticipate needing a referendum, but we do want to understand where we need to land in order to make sure that we continue to meet our financial obligations using the fewest amount of dollars necessary. We really don't want to create a situation where we are asking for more money than necessary. MCCSE is a pretty fiscally conservative district. We have, like I said, eighth lowest taxes for of any school district, tax rate of any school district in the state. And we want to continue to protect those tax dollars and those investments, and make sure we're using them based upon the will of the community, and we're doing it as efficiently as possible.
Sounds good, my friend. I'm going to talk to Mayor Hamilton. He needs a few bucks from our locals, too. We'll talk to him in 25 minutes. So everybody's lining up. But I'll be...
I'll leave that up between you and the mayor.
Oh, that's exactly right. We just but that's kind of the climate we're in right now. It is definitely interesting. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks. We'll get ready for the official board meeting on the 26th and a recap of your work session tonight.
That's right.
Plus, I know we'll always have plenty of other things to talk about. Thank you so much for your time, Dr. Jeff. We'll talk soon.
No worries. Go MCCSE, and of course, go Reds.
There you go. First pitch, 4:10, 30 minutes away against Cleveland, the Guardians. You have to get used to saying that out loud. Thanks again, pal. I appreciate it.
Thank you.